the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up. But let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
E, God promises to encourage me.
We sing as the bells of heaven ring. Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible and Living Sound.
Cornelius reporting, sir.
At ease, Cornelius. You're a good soldier. One of my best.
Thank you, sir.
The emperor could rule the world if he had an army and officers he could depend upon. Men like you. I need a good captain right now. One with experience for the Italian regiment. They're an unruly, disobedient, irresponsible band. But I think you could handle them, Captain Cornelius. Centurion Cornelius.
Yes, sir. I'll try to, sir.
Make soldiers out of them, Centurion. Good soldiers.
Yes, sir. Fall in! Tench! Count off!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 100.
All present and accounted for, sir.
Yes. Men, you are members of the Italian cohort, the 2nd Volunteer Members. You are Roman citizens, Roman soldiers. You are archers, fair archers. You are soon going to be good archers, then excellent, then the best in the Roman army. Any questions? I am your new commanding officer. My duties are first to see that you perform your duties, and second, to maintain discipline. Your duties? First, become the best and straightest shooter of the arrow. Second, keep your living quarters neat and orderly. Third, obey the rules and regulations established by the military aid to the emperor. Any questions? If any of you have problems, personal or otherwise, and wish my help, just come to me. I'll do what I can. Any questions? Italian cohort, the 2nd, dismissed.
He seems like a pretty nice fella.
Yeah, all officers seem nice at first.
Well, I'm gonna test him out, see if he really meant what he said about helping us when he get in difficulties. Hi, Corporal. We'd like to see the captain.
I'm sorry, but he's not to be disturbed right now.
What's he doing? Praying?
That is just what he's doing.
Oh, come on, I was just having fun.
Well, I'm not.
The captain, he's in there praying?
He studies and prays every day.
To whom?
To God.
Which God?
Jehovah.
Well, he must be a new god of war. I never heard of him before.
No, he isn't a Roman god at all. He's the god of the Israelites.
Oh. Well, when may I see him?
Well, is there anything I can do for you?
No, I... Yes, there is. You can tell me if the captain really means he'll help any of us when we get into trouble.
No, he means it. Kindness and helping others is the code of the Israelite God. The captain has taken it for his code.
A praying army officer. Kind and helpful. I'll see you later, Corporal. I wish all officers would pray and be kind. Army'd be a nice place to be.
And so, O Lord, living God, I am not an Israelite, but, O God, I can worship thee and love thee and obey thee, I and my house. I have new responsibilities now, O God, and I dare not attempt to carry them out without thy help and counsel. Thou art the creator of all things, O Lord, and I...
Cornelius!
What is it, sir?
God has accepted your prayers and knows of your works of charity and has remembered you. He bids you send some men to Joppa to call for a certain man whose full name is Simon Peter. He is a guest at the home of a leather worker called Simon, who lives by the sea.
It was an angel from heaven.
You sent for me, sir.
Yes, Corporal. You're a religious man, too, and I know you will understand. I just had a vision in which an angel of the Lord God of Israel appeared to me right here in my home. He told me to send to Joppa for a man named Simon Peter. Take two of my servants and hasten to Joppa. You'll find Simon Peter, a guest in the home of a leather merchant living by the sea. His name is also Simon.
I'm to bring him back with me, sir?
If he'll come, yes. But it does seem doubtful, seeing that the Israelites consider it as a curse to enter into the home of a Gentile. But the angel said to get him, so we'll at least try. But above all, Corporal, don't force him to come. Force is evil.
I understand, sir.
God go with you and keep you.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Recess. I also love eating lunch under this tree with all my friends. And since all my friends are busy doing something else, I'll just have to eat lunch with you.
Oh, you're very kind.
Let me ask you a question. You and I are trying to be healthy, right?
Right.
We exercise, drink water, get 8 hours of sleep at night, and breathe as much fresh air as we can, right?
Right.
What about our food? How do I know if my mom packed me a healthy lunch? I mean, she loves me and would never do anything to make me sick, but maybe she doesn't know how to make healthy lunches.
Well, she can do what my mom does.
What?
My mom uses the Bible to decide what I should eat.
Your mom packs you lots of loaves and fishes?
No. She told me that when God made this world, he created just what everybody needed to be healthy. Adam, Eve, the animals, everybody ate the same things.
Really? What did they eat?
Oh, fruits, grains, nuts, seeds, and mangoes. I love mangoes. It's all right there in Genesis.
So if we eat what God created for us to eat, we will be healthy?
As healthy as we can be, I guess. I mean, God knew what we needed. It makes sense that he put good things in nature for us to eat. Well, let me see what my mom packed for me. Lettuce and tomato sandwich and whole wheat bread, some carrot sticks, an apple, and for dessert, homemade cookies with nuts in them. Hey, I think my mom did a pretty good job. God would be proud.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
So, Jesus died on the cross for us. What? Are you sure you're ready for the answer? That's the part about the earthquake and the angel.
And the grave clothes with no body in them? No body. Get it? There was no body.
No body? But how did Jesus get out of the tomb?
Well, the answer's in Matthew 28. Will you read it for us?
In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. I wish I could have seen that with my very own eyes.
After all that, you'll think that everybody would understand who Jesus is.
Well, yes, Jesus is the only person who never, ever sinned. That's because Jesus is more than just a man. Jesus is the Son of God who came to be the Savior of the world.
Yes, but a lot of people don't know that. I think we'd better start telling people.
Wow, that reminds me of the trickle-down theory. God loved us and sent his Son. We accept him and tell our neighbors, who tell their neighbors, who tell their neighbors.
Who tell their neighbors, who tell their neighbors.
Till the whole world has heard the good news of Jesus.
Bye. boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Today's story shows you how great it is to have a pet and how sad it can be when a pet disappears. While Jenny and her friend Natalie search for clues about what happened to Butterscotch, Jenny learns some important lessons about forgiveness. Chapter 9, Going Fishing. With that, Jenny whirled around and pushed her way through the people crowded around to watch the pet show. She walked as fast as she could until she bumped headfirst into someone. "Oomph," the man groaned. "Jenny?" Jenny looked up slowly. It was her father, and by the look on his face, Jenny could tell that he'd heard what she had said to Tevin. "Hi, Dad," she said softly. She tried to smile, but it felt as if her face might crack, so she gave up. "Jenny, what just happened here?" Dad asked, as he took her arm and led her away from all the people. They walked over to where he'd parked his car, and he leaned up against the fender. "Okay, tell me what's going on. Who is that with Dee Dee, and why did you treat him so badly?" "Because it's his fault," Jenny burst out before she could help herself. "It's all his fault that Butterscotch disappeared. If it wasn't for his nasty dog, Butterscotch would be here right now, and we'd be taking home the blue ribbon. You should have seen her, Dad. I had her coat so shiny, and I spent an entire week studying everything there is to know about cats. Ask me a question, any question." Dad held up his hands. "Whoa, slow down. First of all, I realize how disappointed you must be, Jenny, and how sad you are that Butterscotch is gone. But do you think that the way you're acting would make Jesus happy?" Jenny was silent for a moment. "Of course not," she thought. "Jesus would never have said that to Tevin. Jesus would have been friendly and happy. He would have introduced Natalie to Dee Dee and Tevin. Then maybe they would have all watched the pet show together." "No," Jenny said slowly, her eyes studying the pavement. "No, I don't think the way I'm acting would make Jesus happy." "Jenny," Daddy said, "you need to forgive Tevin." Jenny looked up, her eyes wide in surprise. "But, Dad, I already forgave Tevin when he asked me to." "Honey, when we forgive someone, we also forget what they did." He took Jenny by the shoulders and turned her around so that she was facing the shoebox Go Fish booth. "The Bible says that Jesus took our sins and threw them into a big sea. And do you know what?" Jenny shook her head. Her father pointed to the little boy trying to get his fishing line to drop over the other side of the counter where Maria waited to attach his prize. "He tells us not to go fishing." Jenny looked up at her father. "You mean that remembering what Tevin did is like fishing for the sin?" Jenny's dad nodded. "Exactly. And Jesus doesn't want us to go fishing around with our old sins. He forgets about them, and we should too." Dad bent down and looked in Jenny's eyes. "And honey, that's what you need to do with Tevin." "I will," Jenny promised. Dad stood up and looked over at the pet show. "Look at that," he chuckled. "Sammy and Whispers have won the pet show. Why don't you go over and congratulate him," he suggested. "And maybe while you're over there, you could apologize to Tevin." Jenny looked over at Sammy, surrounded by people telling him what a good job he'd done. Right next to him was Tevin and Dee Dee. "Yes," she decided, "that's just what I'll do." "Thanks, Dad," Jenny said. "I will." The next week in the shoebox, everyone arrived early. They spent the time talking about Family Day. "Did you see Pastor Hill at the dunk tank?" Chris asked. "He really got wet." As the other kids talked about their favorite parts, Jenny sat quietly in the back. Mrs. Shu came up behind her and laid her hands on Jenny's shoulders. "How are you doing today, Jenny?" she asked. "Not as good as they are," Jenny said. Then she told Mrs. Shu about Butterscotch and everything. "Your mother mentioned this," Mrs. Shu admitted, "but I didn't know that Butterscotch was found and then lost again. I'm sorry." "I'm afraid I didn't act much like Jesus this week," Jenny said sadly. "Oh, I don't know about that," Mrs. Shu said. "You are learning how to forgive people's debts or sins against you the way Jesus forgives our debts or sins against him." She smiled brightly. "I think you're looking more and more like Jesus every day." Jenny felt herself smile back. It was the first real smile that she could remember smiling since the day Butterscotch disappeared. "Thanks, Mrs. Shu," she said. "Can I have your attention, everyone?" Mrs. Shu asked as she walked to the front. "It's time to begin. Before we open this week's lesson, can anyone remember what we learned last week?" "We learned about the unforgiving servant," Willie said, "and about forgiveness." Mrs. Shu nodded. "Did anyone give or experience forgiveness this week?" Jenny wasn't sure she wanted to talk about Tevin and Butterscotch. Sammy spoke up first. "I did," he said softly. Jenny leaned forward so that she could hear every word he said. Sammy looked around the shoebox. "You know that my cat Whispers and I won a blue ribbon at the Family Day pet show. Well, I put it in a special box and set it on the kitchen table. My grandfather didn't know it was in there, and he threw it away by accident." Jenny gasped. He threw away the beautiful blue ribbon? Jenny thought about the bare space on her own wall at home. I know how Sammy must feel. Awful. Grandfather asked me to forgive him, Sammy continued. At first, I didn't feel as if I could, but he didn't mean to throw the ribbon away. It was an accident. I told Grandfather that I forgave him, but I was still angry with him. Then I said a prayer to Jesus to take the angry feeling away and help me to really forgive Grandfather as the king forgave the servant. Sammy looked around the room, and he did. That made Jenny think hard, especially about Tevin. I need to do what Sammy did, she decided. Dear Jesus, she prayed silently, please help me to feel real forgiveness toward Tevin, even though he tried to take Butterscotch away. Amen. When their lesson was over, Jenny sat in her chair thinking, what if I took one of my blue hair ribbons, maybe that really pretty one I found in the garage, and a gold belt buckle, and made a blue ribbon? Maybe with a little glue and some help from Mom, it would be nice enough to give to Sammy to replace his lost one. The more she thought about it, the more excited she got. Won't Sammy be surprised? As Jenny searched for the ribbon at home that night, she packed up the last of Butterscotch's old battered toys into a cardboard box and carried them to the hall closet. If I put them in here, they will be less likely to remind me of Butterscotch. Maybe I should throw them away. What if, someday, I decide to get a kitten? A kitten would probably enjoy playing with the toys as much as Butterscotch had. Jenny held the box above her head and strained to reach the top shelf of the closet. Before she managed to push it up there, she heard a strange sound. It sounded like, meow. Jenny shook her head fiercely. It's bad enough that I dream about Butterscotch all the time. Now I'm starting to hear her, too. She walked back into her room. Blam! Something hit the screen on her window, like a rock.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 3, Jenny's Catnapped Cat, written by Celeste Perino Walker, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.